Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There are two things that you may or may not know about me. One, I really love organizing, cleaning, tidying up. I really, really love it. So much so that I sometimes hide it from people because I think I'll get made fun of or whatever. And two, I really enjoy binge-watching shows on Netflix. Binge-watching is when there's a show available and you watch several episodes at a time. And it's possible on things like Netflix because there aren't commercials in between, so you've got 5 seconds to choose whether or not you'll keep watching or whether or not you'll stop watching. And, well, it's 5 seconds, it's already started. I may as well keep watching the next episode. So you can imagine my excitement when I recently discovered a show on Netflix called Tidying Up with Marie Kondo. Have any of you seen this show? She's the best-selling author of The Life-Changing Power of Tidying Up. Her tidying is done by category. You survey all your belongings, so clothing, for example, you don't go drawer by drawer. You get all of your clothing out and you put it all where you can see it at the same time. I think this serves one purpose. When you see how much you have, you think, oh my goodness, I need to let go of some stuff. But her tidying is done by category. So you put all your clothing, for example, all over the bed. And then you go article of clothing by article of clothing or whatever you're tidying, and you look at it and you actually hold it in your hands. And you think about whether or not this something brings you joy. And if it does, you keep it. If it doesn't, you let it go. You only keep what sparks joy in you. So if something doesn't spark joy, even though it might be hard to let it go, you let it go. Because it's about choosing joy. It's about letting go of things that don't bring you joy to make room for more joy, so that our homes aren't weighed down by the clutter that doesn't bring joy. As I read and studied the passages for this week, it reminded me a lot about Marie's premise of joy and what brings us true joy. It also reminded me about what we are called to do in Lent. The work of tidying and decluttering our hearts. Listen to these words again from Isaiah 55. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and labor for that which does not satisfy? We constantly fill our hearts with things other than God. And our hearts are so cluttered with things that don't satisfy us that there's actually very little room for God to dwell within us. But every year we are given these 6 weeks of Lent, this space in time that calls us to stop what we're doing, no matter how important it is, and enter more intentionally into the disciplines of prayer and self-examination and repentance. These 6 weeks are set apart for the purpose of drawing closer to God and seeking God with greater intensity. It's a time for creating more inner and more outer space for attending to our relationship with God. If you remember a couple Sundays ago, the first Sunday in Lent, the gospel lesson was Jesus' temptation in the desert for 40 days. It was there that he faced temptations to trust things that are not God for security and survival, to trust things that are not God for affirmation and approval. And if we had to group together the things that clutter up our hearts and minds, I think the bulk of them would fall under those categories. We are so often tempted to trust that which is not God for security and safety, approval and affirmation, not just during the 40 days of Lent, but our whole lives. There are a lot of things that distract us within us from really looking at the work that we need to do. Because the reality of our brokenness is that we do choose things other than God to satisfy us. And like the fig tree in today's parable, we all have many things in us and in our lives that keep us from bearing fruit. In more ways than one, we are like the fig tree in the parable that Jesus tells. We are alive, but are we bearing fruit? Are we bearing fruit, or are we simply existing? It's a harsh parable. In fact, several of the lessons this morning were harsh, and hearing them read out loud made them a little bit harder to hear. But in this parable, the landowner has given 3 years for this fig tree to grow and bear fruit. And that's actually a very realistic and logical thing for this landowner to do. 3 years is more than enough time for this fig tree to be established and to begin bearing fruit. But it isn't, so the landowner tells the gardener, cut it down. It's occupying space that something else could be, that could be bearing fruit. So get rid of it. Put something there that will bear fruit. It's not unreasonable, and it's not unrealistic. It actually makes perfect sense. And I think this is true of us, right? There are a lot of things in us that are not bearing fruit. And in this season of self-examination, when we're called to look at that and name and acknowledge that which isn't bearing fruit in us, and then repent, meaning do the work of doing different, there's a lot that probably needs to be cut down and pruned out within us. But hear this response. In this parable, and in our lives, there is a good gardener who is incredibly patient. God is the gardener of our souls and is so much more patient with us than we truly deserve. God continues to attend to us over and over again when we aren't bearing fruit. God looks at us and maybe spreads out our roots a little bit more, rakes around us and gets some of the debris away, and puts manure and fertilizer gently around us, tenderly attending to us so that fruit might grow. God gets God's hands dirty, because God is the gardener that has hope that good will come if the right care is given. So here we are, halfway through Lent. It's the third out of 6 Sundays in this season. And if we were to sit down for coffee, I'd ask you about your Lenten journey so far. I'd ask you how God has been with you in your disciplines of prayer and self-examination and repentance. I'd ask you how it's going in your heart, where you're working to clear out space and get rid of some of the clutter. Are you tidying up just the obvious things, like the clutter on a table or the clutter in the middle of the floor? Or are you going further back into those closets that are tucked away, into the box that's on that shelf in the closet, that's the one that's out of sight and out of mind. I'd ask you, what are the things that you are needing forgiveness from God for? I'd ask you, what are the things that are keeping you from bearing fruit? And then maybe we'd talk about how we invite God into those spaces and let God attend and tenderly care for you in those places. Because the truth is that in the shadow of Christ's cross and resurrection, we are assured that God forgives and cleanses all who turn to God. In Christ, there is power to pass from death into life in the places where we ourselves are needing resurrection. Brothers and sisters, Lent is a gift. It's a gift of time to sort out our hearts and our lives. It's a time to be honest with God, to let God search and know our hearts. It's not easy work, but it is good and faithful and important work. And it is the work of a lifetime, not just of a season, to intentionally attend to our relationship with God. And as serious as Lent is, it's also a time of great hope, because we experience God's steadfast love and grace and patience in the midst of whatever sin and whatever brokenness we acknowledge. God is a good, good gardener. God is deeply patient with us, and God tenderly cares for us, because God is the gardener that has hope that good will come if the right care is given. Amen.